You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Good afternoon, Toronto. It is smoking hot outside, by the way. Can we talk about that? Not as bad as it was, but it's pretty hot.
I thought there was kind of a refreshing lack of humidity in the air this morning.
True. Gord Miller, Dave Festchuk here. For the next 2 weeks, Al Hayes has broken the first rule of going on vacation. He's phoning in today because he simply cannot restrain himself on what happened on the weekend. So we have a lot of ground to cover, and you are just the man to do it. In 1998, you and Vince Carter broke in as rookies with the Toronto Raptors. He was playing for them. You were covering them. A fresh-faced young lad you were then, full of vim, vigor, and vitality, anxious to show the world what you had.
It's very true. I was that.
What happened? How'd that go for you?
What happened to me, Gord?
How'd that go for you? So we obviously have a lot to get to. Milos Raonic lost today at Wimbledon.
Can you believe it?
Up two sets to love. Serving for the match in the fourth set, but he lost. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the baseball home run derby. Maybe get into the little Women's World Cup. But obviously the big news is Kawhi Leonard and all that went with it. Five of the most amazing days in a sports history. I mean, the NBA had this, I don't want to say earthquake, because there actually was an earthquake.
There were two.
In California.
There were two.
I'm going there on vacation in 2 weeks.
Are you really?
Very excited about
nice
it.
Nice choice.
Yeah, thanks.
Aftershock
well,
City.
I couldn't get close to the volcano in Hawaii. So this is the next best thing. So here we are talking about this massive change in the NBA. And, of course, what it means for the Raptors, Kawhi, and going forward. So give me your Reader's Digest version. You want to call it that. Give me the top line, what you think of what went down this weekend.
What went down was Kawhi Leonard became the general manager of the LA Clippers and commandeered that franchise, told them who to trade for, didn't tell them what to trade, but suggested trade whatever you need to trade to get right. My buddy Paul George, and we'll see how it works out for him.
So here's the thing for me that I don't think Raptor fans should be mad at Kawhi Leonard. At all. I mean, you could say, what was he doing going to Jay's game, going to Niagara Falls, wearing the Jay's jersey down in the Caribbean? Like, was he playing Toronto? That's negotiating. That's they had to keep Toronto in the game. That doesn't bother me. If I'm a basketball fan in Oklahoma City, and I wake up Saturday morning and say, wait a minute, why did my team get wrecked because Kawhi Leonard wanted to sign with the LA Clippers? What's that got to do with me? And I would say this. If the situation was reversed, if Paul George was an unrestricted free agent, or a free agent in the NBA, and was going to the Clippers and said, and called Kawhi Leonard, who was under contract to the Raptors, and said, hey, get out of your, get traded out of there, come and join me in LA. People here would be furious.
Oh, no doubt.
They would be furious. Why? It's not tampering because Leonard's not under contract to a team, but it's pretty close. And we've seen this before. I mean, LeBron recruited Anthony Davis, right?
Oh, yeah.
From New Orleans. That was a full...
He
had 2 years to go on his contract.
No
and LeBron
kidding.
Was under contract to the Lakers.
And they share the same agent.
Right.
And LeBron owns a chunk of the management agency.
At what point does the NBA step in and say, sorry, that trade's not happening? You can't call players who are under contract to other teams and tell them to ask for a trade.
Well, we just saw it play out. To your point, Gord, we saw it play out in front of our eyes. Tampering is an incurable epidemic in the NBA. I'm convinced there's nothing they can do about it.
Because the integrity of the game, if we're going to see players under contract in what you want to call less attractive markets,
yeah.
in New Orleans, Oklahoma City, I mean, it's happened at Toronto, what about the integrity of the sport? What about the integrity of a contract?
Yeah, I agree.
And people would say, well, Kawhi asked for a trade out of San Antonio. That was different. He asked for a trade because he was in a dispute with them about his health, how it was handled. He was
still forced his way out, though.
He did. And when you're under contract, you shouldn't do that. This is different. He reached out to a player on another team and said, get yourself
moved. Do whatever you need to
do. And we'll go together. And,
yeah.
That to me, it's underhanded. It is.
Oh, it is.
And I think for the integrity of the sport, it's something. I love the fact that NBA players have so much power. In the NHL, you play where they tell you to play. I mean, Eric Lindros rocked the boat a tiny bit. Didn't want to go to a team that drafted him. It was like a tsunami.
Yeah.
Right? And so I love the players having power, but you should not be able to contact players who are under contract to other teams and say, come join me here. And by the way, now, I mean, the Clippers, right? I mean, I think the greatest thing Kawhi did was keep Toronto and the Lakers in it as long as he did.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, and to that point, my other takeaway is Uncle Dennis, Dennis Robertson,
yeah.
Kawhi's uncle and main manager, or one of his managers, executive of the year. Because you're right. Like they were able to dangle the idea of Kawhi right. to two franchises who desperately wanted
three.
Kawhi.
Well, three.
Yeah. Well, yeah, two other, I should say. Two other than the LA Clippers.
Because the Raptors were still kind of in it.
Oh, they were more than kind of in it. Look, I mean, people will pretend there's a straight line here, and he was always going to the Clippers because there were people in the NBA saying a year ago he was going to end up with the Clippers, and those people mm-hmm. have been proven right. But there were a lot of twists and turns in that road. That was not a straight line. And there were times, you know, in the 3 or 4 days leading up to the ultimate conclusion where the Clippers felt like he wasn't coming, where the Raptors felt like he was staying. Those are true things. Like, those things actually happened. And there were moments where it looked as though those things would happen. So the idea that people were erroneous in their reporting and people had the wrong idea and Jalen Rose was 99% hearing they were coming to Toronto, he was hearing that. And there were real people saying it, but it wasn't done.
So here's a question for you. So we know that the Raptors were talking to Oklahoma City about a potential deal for Russell Westbrook and Paul George to come here,
right?
Potentially to keep Kawhi here. Say the Raptors lose Game 6 and then lose Game 7,
yeah.
So they don't win the championship. Do they make that deal to try to keep Kawhi? Do they say to heck with all the picks and Siakam and Lowry and everything else, and we're going for it?
See, I think this whole idea that deal was actually on the table, that deal actually got far down the road and was actually discussed. I actually don't think it was true. In fact, having spoken to the people around this league and around these franchises, there was a feeling at a certain point, and it wasn't when the trade was nearly consummated, that Kawhi wasn't cheering Paul George to do whatever you need to do to get to Toronto. Kawhi was saying, get to L.A. In other words, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster had to believe, if they were going to make a deal like that Kawhi was going to come regardless. And I don't think there was a feeling that that was true. I think there was a feeling by that point they were just being used as leverage. Okay. They were being used as leverage by Sam Presti. And guess what? Sam Presti used it well because he got the Clippers to give him an absolute haul of a prospect pool in terms of the four protected, unprotected first-round picks, plus the pick swaps, plus the protected pick, plus Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, a great Canadian player who's maybe one of the best rookies in the league last year, and Danilo Gallinari. So it was an incredible haul, and he couldn't have done it without the Raptors at least being in the game. But I do think the Raptors were aware of that. I don't think there was a ton of trust between the Raptors and the Thunder on that one, and they were out of the game quite quickly, I believe.
So we'll talk to Ramona Shelburne from ESPN, who did some terrific reporting on this story.
She's great in L.A.
all along, and Jack Armstrong will join us at 5:05 to get his take on it. Gord Miller with Dave Festchuk here on Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So now we need to go forward, and a couple of things here. When we think of Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, for me, put up a statue of the shot. It's an iconic moment. Put up a statue of the shot. Don't retire his number, but say, we're not giving it out for a long time. Like, no one's going to wear two for the Raptors for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he doesn't have load management when the Clippers come to Toronto. Hopefully he plays here.
Well, I wouldn't. Don't bet on that.
And he gets a thunderous ovation.
Yeah.
I got nothing but good things to say about Kawhi Leonard. Last year at this time, you and I were on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if Kawhi Leonard would show up here.
Very true.
And there was no indication either way what he'd do, shockingly, with Kawhi. But he showed up. He played great. He transformed the franchise. He put a banner in the Raptors that'll never come down. And I think showed a lot of the young Raptors. The effect of Kawhi Leonard on Siakam, on Ananobi, on a lot of the young players will be felt for a long time. Everyone who dealt with him talked about, we've talked to Nick Nurse about this, the professionalism of Kawhi Leonard in the gym, on the floor, on the bench, everything about him. That'll be felt for a long time for the Raptors. I got nothing wrong with that. Where do they go from here?
Well, I expect it won't be to a, imminent championship run, right? When you look at what Masai Ujiri is about, he's not a guy, especially now that he is a defending NBA champion, he's not a guy who's going to be happy with a team at his disposal that's got the ceiling of a round or two. He's done that. He's been on that journey before. He's not interested in that anymore. So when you've got these three looming expiring contracts in Kyle Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka, as much as all three of those guys can help you this season, there's no doubt, they've still got gas in the tank. Those are assets that you are best, you're best to move in the near term, because otherwise you're going to lose those guys for nothing. I don't think you want to re-sign those guys, given that your plan from here on out is probably looking toward 2021 free agency, when Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a free agent.
And might like the Danforth.
Well, he's, hey, there was, you think it was a coincidence that all those Greek people showed up after that Bucks game a couple years ago and gave him that thunderous ovation?
Yeah.
And, you know, sang songs with him and treated him like royalty? No, it wasn't a coincidence. And guess what? You know, the talk about tampering. I don't know if it's tampering. Maybe it should be. But the Raptors were part of that, obviously. You know, those that community doesn't show up without the Raptors helping them show up. And Masai Ujiri's got an incredible relationship with that family, you know, in Giannis's family, helped Giannis as a young player as he was emerging into a pro contract. So there's a relationship there. It's not going anywhere. And that will be, like, this is going to be the next, this will be the Steven Stamkos, John Tavares conversation. Will Masai be able to sign Giannis between now and 2021?
The difference is those were Toronto guys. Those were Toronto,
right?
Those were Toronto kids.
But there's only one Danforth, and he's the Greek freak.
So here's the thing for me:
I don't think there's a Danforth. I don't think there's a Greek town in Milwaukee. Let's put it that way.
Not that I've seen. There's one in Detroit, though.
Okay.
There's one in Detroit.
Maybe Dwayne Casey will get on the bandwagon and try and recruit him to the Pistons.
There's a Greek town casino in Detroit. But here's the thing for me on Kyle Lowry: we talked about this last year. DeMar DeRozan, the all-time leader in games played for the Raptors, the all-time leading scorer by a lot for the Raptors. You could argue the most accomplished, if not the greatest, Raptor of all time. After what we've seen here, Kyle Lowry now is.
Yeah, I wrote that after the play, after the finals.
You wrote a great column about Lowry's journey to get here. Trade Gasol if you want. Trade Ibaka if you want. To me, Kyle Lowry retires as a Raptor. I'm willing to say a declining Kyle Lowry, a diminished Kyle Lowry, I don't care. He retires a Raptor.
See, I like the sentiment there. It would be nice if that was a reality. The issue, Gordon, look, and I'm not saying that's off the table. That could happen. Because we've traded Kyle Lowry out of Toronto many times, right?
Like, right. You have.
And Masai did. Masai had a trade consummated with the Knicks. Don't forget that. This is somewhat of an accidental rise to being an NBA titleist and the greatest Raptor of all time. Because when Masai first got here and first laid eyes on that guy, he didn't want anything to do with him. He wanted to trade him out of here, and he had him traded to the Knicks, and the Knicks nixed it at the 11th hour. But the bottom line is, Gord, as much as I love the sentiment, and I do think hit number seven should be the first number retired in franchise history, in my opinion, because Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time in terms of a career. Obviously, the greatest player they've ever had. Stayed for one season. His name was Kawhi Leonard. But in terms of having a career in a Raptors uniform, nobody's resume compares to Kyle Lowry's. Except the problem is, he's getting deep into his 30s now. He's a point guard. He's got asset value now. And he's going to want another contract. And it won't be cheap.
Give him one.
And I'm not sure, but I don't think it dovetails into what you're trying to do here with a younger, different type of team.
And I know the, you know, what would Bill Belichick do, and I get all that, and you got to be remorseless and you can't be emotional, and it's all that. They won a championship here. They delivered something, and this was not a place where NBA players wanted to be for a long time.
Oh yes.
And you were there for Vince's departure and mm-hmm. Chris Bosh did terrific work for us, you know, during the finals. He was fantastic. We saw Vince want out. We saw Bosh want out.
Didn't you love it that they all wanted back in when the Raptors were making a run to the finals?
We saw McGrady want out. Yeah. We saw all that. And I don't hold one bit against Kawhi Leonard. He came here. He got traded here. He came here, played hard, and won. Best wishes to you. Shake your hand on the way out the door. No problem.
Exactly.
But I do think there's a culture now with the Raptors that needs to be preserved. And that part of that culture, a big part of it, is Kyle Lowry.
Except, I see where you're coming from on this, and I'm a bit torn on this myself. But I do think the problem with that is you're going to be stuck with a big number on a guy who's getting deeper and deeper into his 30s.
They're not going to be in cap trouble. I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, they're not.
Well,
going to be.
No, but if you're going to sign Giannis in 2021, and this is just a hypothetical,
yeah.
If you're going to sign Giannis in 2021, and ideally somebody to go with Giannis. Or you've got Siakam emerging as the true all-star that we all think he's likely to become in very short order. You know, I'm not sure that's the point guard you need at $30-plus million.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's the kind of guy you're going to want on your roster. And the question is, Gord, here's the thing. Like, Kyle Lowry, his value is never going to be higher than it is right at this particular minute.
And Bill Belichick would trade him right now.
And I mean, Bill Belichick is a multiple champion.
He is.
And for that reason.
He is. And I get that. I just think that in his case, in this with this franchise, it's different. It is different. And the Raptors need to be, they need to stay a destination. They need to be more than a place where NBA players like to come and party for a couple of days.
Yeah.
They need to be a team that people come to because there's a culture here now of winning. Of excellence in management. I mean, Masai Ujiri is so respected around the league.
Well, they got to lock him up. That's the other issue.
That's the other thing. We'll get to that.
2 years left on that deal.
They got to get him locked up. And just to go back to something you said a second ago about reporting, I thought it was really irresponsible to report the night the Raptors won that there was an offer on the table to Masai Ujiri from Washington.
That was Woj. Now, the great Woj of ESPN.
The great Woj who drops Woj bombs, you know, in their.
Yeah.
But that was because
I would say it was brazen.
Washington
brazen.
And Washington has flat out denied it.
I wonder who told them to deny it. Maybe the commissioner Adam Silver demanded they deny it. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who told them. And they can maybe that denial is 100% face value and take it for what. But I have a hard time in my hardened journalist brain believing that denial is 100% face value.
You're not buying it?
Well, where does that story come from? Woj just doesn't make stuff up, okay? This guy is a great insider.
But they categorically deny it. The timing would be
off. Well, you can't not deny it because it would be tampering if you admitted it. Although, as we just said, tampering is an incurable epidemic.
Let's expand the conversation a little bit to the power of the modern athlete.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, in the NHL, they hand the Stanley Cup to a player.
Yes, they do.
In the NBA, they hand the trophy to an owner.
Larry.
In baseball, an owner.
Yeah.
In the NFL, an owner, right? Robert Kraft gets the Lombardi trophy before Tom Brady, please. But anyway, the power of the players, the power of their shoe companies.
Yes.
To supersede these billionaires. I mean, Steve Ballmer is one of the wealthiest men in the world.
Top 20.
He could buy the top 15 most valuable NBA franchises and still have $5 billion left over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he could buy half the league.
He's got 20 bills.
Right.
Or something like that.
No, more than that.
Is it more than that now?
A billion? He's got like $47
billion. Is it 40 now?
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever it is. It's a lot.
So Ballmer, here's one of the most powerful, richest men in the world. And he's being dictated to by a guy from San Diego State, New Balance, and his uncle.
Uncle Dennis. At the table.
Right? I mean, isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I mean, the power of LeBron, the power of Kawhi, the power that these... No sport... Now, of course, because one player can make such a difference in the NBA.
That's the thing.
Right?
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing about these players that is so real. Like, Connor McDavid can talk about... He's the greatest player in the hockey business right now, and we can't deny that.
Of course he is.
But he's on one of the worst teams in the hockey business. Like, the best player in basketball will never be on the worst team in basketball.
Right. Like Giannis carried them as far as they went.
Exactly.
Right? Now, the Lakers missed the playoffs without LeBron.
He was hurt.
So that's...
Yeah, before he got hurt, they were right in the mix for being the top five seed in the West.
So it's a funny balance, because I do like the power of the players.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the players are able to say, no. I'll dictate where I
play. Well, you like it, but the owners don't like it. I'll tell you that right now. And
because remember the famous hockey quote, right? Where the ranchers, there are the cattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guess who's ranching in the NBA?
Exactly.
The players.
Exactly. And the bottom line is, look, for a guy like Steve Ballmer, it's no big deal, right? hey, you know, Kawhi wants this, Kawhi wants that. Kawhi can get whatever he wants from Steve Ballmer because Steve Ballmer can give anybody he wants whatever they want. That's just the nature of his business, right? Like, he's rich enough to not care about the details, whether that detail is an extra this or that.
But nobody else walks into Ballmer's office and says, Steve, I'll come work for you, but you've got to call this guy over at Apple and get him as a condition. Oh, and you got to shell out all this other stuff to do. Like, right. No one else can dictate to him like that.
Exactly. Exactly. No one can. The problem is, I think, in this league, I mean, if you talked about it off the top. Like, what if you're a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder and you don't have a situation where, like,
no one's ever going to do that for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. No one's ever doing that for your team.
I agree with that. And I do think the one thing about the National Hockey League that you do have to believe, I don't like the salary cap and all that goes with it, but you can say this about the salary cap. It gives you the belief that if your team is well managed and well, you know, and stays healthy.
And well goaltended,
that you can win a championship. There's no reason that your team can't win a championship.
Exactly. And that there's a beauty to that. There is a real beauty to that.
So does the Raptors championship give other NBA teams that hope? No. No, well, because it doesn't, because it was such a bolt of lightning.
Here's the thing, though. You talked about the well-managed part, though, right? Like, if you are well-managed, like everybody told Masai Ujiri when he got here, well, you'll never get big-time players. You'll never have a top-five player unless you draft him. Well, maybe that's true, except if I trade for him. Except if I find if I find a circumstance where I can pounce on another team's vulnerability, and in this case, the San Antonio Spurs' vulnerability, and the stars align where he's got trust with San Antonio because R.C. Buford, the GM in San Antonio, is Masai Ujiri's professional mentor in a lot of ways. So they were able to consummate that trade and keep up this idea that anybody can win, which is great for the NBA, great for Adam Silver as a commissioner to say, hey, Toronto won. Oh, Milwaukee, what are you complaining about? OKC, what are you complaining about? Who wants to play in Toronto? And they found a team that could win the title, right? In the era of the super team. So, look, there's always exceptions, but the bottom line is you're right. Who won free agency? New York and LA. Now it was Brooklyn, not the Knicks, and it was the Clippers, not the Lakers.
Yeah, it was nearly New York and almost the Lakers.
Exactly. Yeah. But hey, the Lakers didn't exactly lose because they were able to get Anthony Davis, and they've been able to put together a team that's going to be a force to contend with. So, and you know, there's probably more to come.
So here's Golden State's still pretty good, right? The Clippers are obviously much better. The Lakers are much better.
Yeah.
So only one of those teams, at best, can go to the finals next year. Only two can go to the Western Conference Championship at most. Somebody, Houston.
Yeah,
the Clippers, the Lakers, Golden State is going to go out in the second round at least.
And Utah's really good. They've beefed up too.
Yeah, Utah's really good.
Yeah.
So so I guess to your point, Utah can be good. That's not a free agent magnet.
No. And they're going to have to do it their own way. And they've done it in the past with the Stockton Malone era. We've seen them find ways to get talent there. But you know, it's always going to be a next tier thing. And are they really a contender right now? Are they really a championship favorite? No, they're not. But they're a really good force, for sure.
It's a really interesting time in that league, isn't it?
Oh.
Those 5 days, Dave, were incredible. I mean, you wake up every morning and check Twitter or check whatever you do to get your news and be like, whoa.
What must that have felt like to be Kawhi Leonard, to be Uncle Dennis, and to have the entire sports world, in a lot of ways, the entire popular culture of North America in your hand? Like, all of Instagram and Twitter and TV and whatever traditional media, they're all waiting on you to make a move.
And it was some guy in a convenience store in San Diego who might have moved the peanut farther than anyone with a picture of Kawhi buying what appeared to be Dr. Pepper and some chips, right?
Yeah.
So he was clearly in San Diego. He had been on the plane. The plane was coming back without him. I mean, that guy
told us something.
Told us as much as anyone.
Very true. What a bizarre. We'll never forget it, and I'd love to read the tell-all, and maybe it'll be Lee Jenkins, the great Sports Illustrated writer who now works for the Clippers. Maybe he'll write the book on what really happened.
We'll talk to Ramona Shelburne coming up in a few moments from ESPN. She's a terrific writer of LA there, about all the stuff behind the scenes that went on. We'll talk to Jack Armstrong at 5 o'clock. Jack will always have some great words for us. He was terrific in the playoffs. I wonder if he's come down yet. Scott Mitchell will join us at 5:30 to talk about the home run derby at the Baseball All-Star Game. This, by the way, today and Wednesday are the 2 days where there are no games on the schedule in the four major sports.
That's right.
The only 2 days.
The only 2 days of the year.
When there's no games.
Isn't that amazing?
And here we are.
And we got the Home Run Derby tonight in Vladdy. And I know you hate the Home Run Derby,
yeah,
but I enjoy
we'll talk,
it.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that.
All right. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050 and watching on TSN 4. Coming up at 4:30 here in Toronto. It's Overdrive on TSN 1050. Gordon Miller singing with Dave Festchuk. Our leader, Brian Hayes, will phone in just after 6 because Brian has been almost literally exploding at home since the Kawhi news broke in the early hours of Saturday morning, Friday evening.
I can't wait to hear Hayes unload all he has to say.
This always happens to him.
Yes.
Whenever he goes on vacation, something enormous happens.
Well, at least he, you know, it didn't happen like mid-overdrive when he happened to be away, which has happened in the past, right?
That's happened too.
Yes.
On the line with us from Los Angeles is Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider. Ramona, thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. I know this is a kind of a weird day, huh?
It is. I'm sure a weird day down there, too. I guess we'd call it an earthquake in the NBA, but that would be a poor choice of words given where you're living.
Yeah.
But your reporting throughout the week was really interesting. And then what you wrote a column on ESPN's website today about how this all went down. And take us through, starting last Monday from Doc Rivers' house in Malibu, okay, through a meeting in Westlake, how this all went down.
Well, I think it even starts before that, right? Even before free agency, when Kawhi Leonard reaches out to Kevin Durant and asks him, you know, it was kind of on the eve of when Durant was, you know, really thinking about going to Brooklyn. He was, you know, was just literally waiting for the time when he could. The Warriors were going to make one last pitch at him, but it was, you know, it was Brooklyn. Like, they had that in their heads, him and Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan. And he gets a call from Kawhi Leonard. And it was described to me from multiple sources on this is that it's really surprising. Like, Kevin didn't know what to make of it. Like, wow, Kawhi's calling me and asking if I want to go play with the Clippers with him. And I think that kind of is the first tip off of where his head was at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, free agency hasn't even started yet. And he's calling Kevin Durant to see if they can go play together on the Clippers. You know, it kind of sounds like that's what he was trying to make happen the whole time. And if we go all the way back to last year when he asked for a trade from San Antonio, he wanted to go to the L.A. teams. And it's, I think the only thing that threw all of us off really was, boy, he won the title for Toronto. He had a real brotherhood with the guys there. He had a great bond with the franchise, with Masai Ujiri and Allison Koenig, Nick Nurse, like a lot of the players on the team, that was all real. And yet, ultimately, when it comes down to where do you want to spend the next 4 or 5 years of your life, you have to fly above that, and you have to kind of think about your whole life. And it came down to, do you want to be with the Lakers or the Clippers? And, you know, look, the only guy who knows where he would have gone if the Clippers don't pull this trade off is Kawhi Leonard. He's really, you know, I've heard subsequently, and I think, you know, Bruce Arthur wrote a really nice column, you know, with Raptors source saying they sort of felt like they were third place, you know, once they met with him and they got the vibe. They felt like that in the last few days. It was just hard to make of it, just know what to make of it, because he was in Toronto. Like, so he goes and he meets the Clippers Monday night in Malibu. He switches the Laker meeting from El Segundo, which is down by LAX Airport, which is kind of like South Bay, you know Los Angeles at all, and switches it to the Four Seasons Hotel up in Westlake Village, which is much closer to Malibu, but also much closer to where he was going to meet Paul George later that day.
Right.
So that's the real interesting timing on this.
So Ramona Shelburne is an ESPN NBA insider. Ramona, the meeting with Paul George is obviously important, and we just talked about this for a moment. At what point does it become dirty pool for an NBA player to talk to a player who's under contract to another team and say, get traded to come here and then I'll sign with them?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are wrestling with, right? A lot of it's for fans who is on the team where he leaves, right? It's really upsetting, for who both teams leave, right? For Toronto, for Oklahoma City, for everyone involved there. But it's also like, kind of the way of the world. So, like, on what level can you stop that? Like, players have always recruited players. Like, we all, you know, and ultimately, you know, you wait a long time to become a free agent. And Kawhi Leonard wanted to be a free agent. And so there's some level of, like, you know, it is their lives. It is their careers. I mean, you and I get to choose where we work, you know. And
but if we're under contract, you know, I mean, I guess my point, Ramona, is if I wake up in Oklahoma City on Saturday morning and I'd say, why is my team getting wrecked because Kawhi Leonard wanted to sign with the Clippers?
I know. I agree with you. I think that's kind of rough for them to swallow. But I will say this. I do think Oklahoma City was thinking about, you know, doing something like that before he even asked. I think that team had probably one more run in them. And, you know, they were already kind of looking to make moves. Like, there had been a lot out there about Steven Adams and Andre Robertson and things like that. But I know that they had considered trading Westbrook and George before all this because of where that team sat, and they weren't going to get much for anybody else. Like, if you're going to change that team around, you kind of needed a big jolt. Like, Ed Paul was probably the one who had the most value anyway.
Right.
Still, I get where you're coming from. I mean, you know, when you sign a contract, you should honor that contract. But I kind of think that we're in this day and age where, you know, a lot of people break their contracts. People do it all the time, and it's not kosher. It's not the way, you know, I like to live. You probably like to live, but this is a new thing in the NBA, and I know that there's a lot of owners, especially small market owners, who are not happy about it at all. And I think it does get addressed in a much more serious way in the new collective bargaining agreement, but also with the league. Like, they're having league meetings right now, and I expect that to be a main topic of conversation because it really wrecks your franchise. I mean, when players ask for a trade, they got, you know, Anthony Davis got fined $50,000.
Walking around money for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Well, and Ramona, I guess that's the thing. It's like an incurable epidemic. I mean, Doc Rivers got fined $50,000 for fawningly, you know, comparing Kawhi Leonard to Michael Jordan in a playoff preview TV show.
Yeah.
But, you know, as somebody said to me, like, that's not a fine. The Clippers see that as an investment, right? And the investment seemed to pay off.
I think, but Ramona, correct me if I'm wrong, it's one thing to say that guy's a great player and to praise him. It's another to reach out to someone who's under contract to another team. LeBron did it.
Sure he did.
With Davis. Oh, yeah. We know that. At what point would the NBA say, sorry, that trade's voided?
I don't think we're anywhere close to that because I think the NBA doesn't want to get into the business of policing what players do. You know, text messaging and free speech and, you know, whatever it is. But there is some discussion to be had about the whole issue because, for the most part, you know, this whole tampering thing is just, it's like having a good accountant on your taxes, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of silly with this whole, you know, everybody committing within, you know, it's like pre-agency now, right? There's free agency and pre-agency. Like, I think we've got to switch the timing. Like, it needs to go before the draft. And probably free agency should just start right after the season is over, like right after the finals. You should be just free to talk to anybody because we're just pretending that people don't talk. We're pretending that all this tampering doesn't go on, but it's like, this is the normal course of business. And this is why the league was trying to make such an example of Magic Johnson, which actually was a little ridiculous because, I mean, like, he got praised for saying Giannis was good.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Remember that was, you know, he got fined for saying that. And I don't know. I mean, I think the only thing you can do is just try to be a little more realistic about the way of the world and stop trying to, you know, selectively enforce things, because then it just makes people mad when you don't enforce it.
Yeah, so Ramona, obviously incredible turn of events in LA. What does this do to the dynamic of the LA sports scene now that the Clippers are, if not, you know, equals, they're certainly worthy rivals of the historically entrenched Lakers?
So it's going to be real interesting because I think you can make an argument the Clippers are better in the sense that they have much more of a team around them. This is a playoff team last year, and they traded their young point guard who was, you know, still a prospect. He's really good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's a Canadian. You guys probably know him, right?
Oh yeah.
But he's a really good player, but he wasn't like a huge contributor for them last year. I mean, he had moments, right? But the guy, they'll miss Gallinari. He was one of their best players all year. But the rest of the team is still fairly intact. So I think you got to give them the edge, and just in terms of, you have a ready-made team. It's almost like when Kawhi joined the Raptors last year. That was a ready-made team for him to join. He just, so, you know, they might be better. The only question is Paul George is probably going to miss the first couple weeks of the year. He's still recovering from shoulder surgery, so that's a thing, right? I mean, you know, it takes a little while to blend everybody together. I don't know if you guys know Doc Rivers, but he's going to be amazing coaching this team. You know, it's like, just the idea of Doc with this amount of talent on a team that he already had playing a certain way. I'm excited to see it. The Lakers, I think the duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis might be like the best fit possible. Like, if you would just design a player for LeBron to play with, it might be Anthony Davis, just skill set wise. But they just have a hastily assembled team of guys on one plus one contracts that's going to have to spend the first quarter of the year trying to play together, to learn how to play together. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if you don't live in Los Angeles, you don't understand this. Like, as much as the Clippers are a huge story for what they were able to pull off, it is still a Laker town, and it always will be unless the Clippers win a title. And even if they win a title, they're 15 titles behind.
They'll always be the little brother. And when you would think about it, Ramona, like, this is a team, Jack Nicholson used to buy season tickets to the Clippers, court sides.
Oh,
so we'd have tickets for the Laker games. He'd throw the rest away, like give them to charity.
Yeah. Just give them away, the Clippers had a nice team a little while ago with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. That Lob City team was fun, and they sold out, you know, every game for 5 years or something. But they don't have the deep penetration of fans like the Lakers do. Like the Lakers, they are the daily soap opera in Los Angeles.
Right.
That is, it doesn't matter if they're good or bad or whatever. It's like 365 days a year you talk about the Lakers.
So we can't wait for the Clippers to come here, obviously. But I bet you're looking forward to the first Clipper Laker game.
Oh my God! Yes and no. I mean, like, it is just going to be a circus like all year. I mean, I probably will go to more Clipper games because the Laker games will just be insufferable circuses. You know, I mean, there's just going to be so much attention and so many people around that it'll be better to catch the Lakers on the road than it will be at Staples Center.
So, Ramona, I mean, as much as, you know, I thought you had a great quote in your piece about Kawhi where somebody said, you know, for a quiet guy, he's an incredible recruiter or something of that sort. But what is the peril of handing over your franchise decision-making, essentially, to Uncle Dennis and Kawhi in this instance? I mean, is there a downside risk here for the Clippers that this thing might not work out the way they hope it to?
Yeah, I mean, look, Paul George is coming up two major surgeries, and, you know, you turn the franchise over to Kawhi and Uncle Dennis, who, like, you know, it didn't end well in San Antonio. I think they did okay in Toronto, but it was just more of a mercenary thing, right? Like, everybody was always on their best behavior around them and doing whatever they wanted because, the Raptors were trying to keep them and make them feel, you know, special and good. But at some level, like, you just kind of have to be like, you are just a player. You have to be treated on... you know, like just as a fellow player. And, you know, I've seen a lot of star treatment, right? Usually like Kobe Bryant for years. I mean, Shaq and Kobe, like it's not unprecedented. Stars get a certain level of treatment, but, you know, that could go weird. That could go sideways.
Sure.
Yeah, of course it could. I like Doc Rivers' chances though. I just, you know, I think he's a great, guy at handling professional egos like that. I think he's going to be well equipped for that. You know, I don't know. It's interesting with Kawhi because I think the thing that surprised me the most is like none of us really knew him. I mean, you had him for a whole year in Toronto. Do you feel like you knew him?
Not at all. Not a bit.
You know, and even this, you know, him being a recruiter. Did you ever know he had that in him?
I can't imagine anyone looking down at their. How many people look at their phone and seeing Kawhi Leonard's call display? I mean, there's only a handful in the world that can say they've done that.
Well, we knew Uncle Dennis could talk. Let's say that.
Put it that way. Ramona, thanks so much for joining us. You know, Woj gets all the credit at ESPN, and he's obviously a legend, but your reporting on the story was terrific as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
That's Ramona Shelburne from ESPN in the epicenter. There's another earthquake reference of basketball now. I mean, it's going to be, right, the state of California.
It's going to be seismic.
Except in Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sacramento. Yeah, they have a team still?
Remember, I went to see the Clippers at the LA Sports Arena. They used to call it the Clip Joint.
Oh yeah,
bad arena.
I could still conjure the smell of the urine in the stairwells.
Absolutely. On that note, still to come, we'll talk to Jack Armstrong, Scott Mitchell from the Baseball All-Star Game. Brian Hayes is calling in.
All right,
at 6 o'clock. Yeah, you're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050, and watching on TSN 4.
All right.
Coming up on 4:49, Overdrive, TSN 1050. Do we give the time all the time on the radio anymore? Do we do that? Do we give the time regularly? People always know what time it is, don't they?
That's the thing. You don't even need a watch anymore. You're wearing one.
When I started out, they used to have an egg timer, and you had to give the time and the temperature, like every time the egg timer ran out.
Seriously?
Say it was like, you know, in Edmonton, it's minus 35, and it's noon.
You don't want to know the temperature, the time, possibly.
So we're going to talk to Mark Masters, our intrepid tennis man and all-around terrific reporter, is in London. You know, we've sent the least interesting man at TSN to all these great cities. He goes to Paris for the French Open. He goes to London for Wimbledon. He goes to New York for the U.S. Open. And he does nothing.
Yeah.
He does nothing.
He works. He works his ass off.
He sits in his room.
Very true.
Get out. Go out.
I know. It's the same with him and Jonas Siegel when they get together.
It's like a black hole of fun.
Yeah,
like
it's very true.
All the fun around them just disappears into this black hole. So Milos Raonic lost today. He was up two sets, lost the third set, served for the match in the fourth set, and then lost in five.
My goodness.
So if he's going to win a major, it's going to be Wimbledon.
It has to be.
It's going to be Wimbledon because it favors big servers. It's such a slick surface. You know, you need a shovel to dig those serves out. But man, you just feel for him, don't you? Like
he's one of the easiest guys to like in all the sports. Like, I mean, if you've ever covered the guy, I've had the privilege.
He's a terrific person.
He's a terrific athlete.
And might I say, after the loss, like forthright, like he doesn't get cantankerous or cranky or like he's respectful.
He's a great guy. He's a consummate pro. He's battled the reality of his situation, which is he's got this incredibly, incredibly wicked serve that is his weapon, but he's also got this massive body that he's got to lug around and attempt to keep healthy, which has probably been the toughest thing to do in his career, which is just get on the court healthy has been his biggest obstacle for most of his career. And, you know, to be 28 years old and do what he's done is incredible, but you're right. There's always been that idea that Wimbledon could be his.
And you saw the headlines this week. Like, it's all... He hadn't lost a set.
Yeah.
I think he won, in today's match, he won, like, 20 of his first 21 service games.
Yeah.
Or 21 service points, sorry. Like, he... It was, by the way, Guido Pia beat him from Argentina.
Right.
Beat him 26th. Five setters are not his thing.
That's the thing.
Five setters for a big man
to lug around the 6'5", 200-plus-pound frame, very tough to do.
So here it was. I'm sitting here today. He's up two sets. I got the TV on. You know, he's up in the fourth set. So I took off to do some stuff. It brings back my most useless weekend as a sports fan. 2003, went to New York with some friends.
Okay.
For a birthday party, I think it was. And so I got a buddy of mine in New York, had tickets for the semifinals, both semifinal matches, and the final of the U.S. Open tennis. So the first match is Andre Agassi versus Juan Carlos Ferreira. Ferreira beats Agassi pretty easily.
Okay.
They're kind of, you want Agassi. Now the second match is Andy Roddick versus David Nalbandian.
Okay.
Now, Banning wins the first two sets. Roddick's down a set, or down a break in the third. The Mets are playing across the tracks. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there and thinking, like, if this keeps going and he loses in three sets and the Mets game lets out at the same time, we'll never get back to the city. Because we're going for this birthday dinner.
Right.
But we got to get going here. So we leave. Get back to my friend's apartment, and Roddick's playing.
Still playing. I mean,
what's going on? Oh, they're in the fifth set. What? Yeah, so Roddick wins the match.
You missed the classic.
Oh, no, it gets better.
Okay.
It gets better. On the train, I said to my buddy, you know what? I'm not going to watch Juan Carlos Ferreira play David Nalbandian for the U.S. Open Championship. I'm not paying, you know, $400 for whatever it was for the ticket. Give the ticket to your buddy.
No way.
Roddick wins the U.S. Open. He's the last American man to win a Grand Slam.
Incredible.
I could have been.
You missed the moment.
So basically, I missed the greatest match. I missed the best match of the three and passed on what was a history-making
Nice job. Also, you could beat the traffic and get to your drinking fest.
If it had rained soup that weekend in New York, I would have been standing outside with a fork in my hand. That's how useless I was that weekend. Yeah.
Prognostication, not your thing.
When I walked in and saw Roddick still playing, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Seriously.
You have got to be kidding me.
That right, hurts, man.
Coming up, Jack Armstrong, Scott Mitchell about the baseball All-Star game. Brian Hayes is calling in, and we'll talk to Mark Masters. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050 and watching on TSN 4.